Yes, indeed. Good morning. I am joined this morning by Julie Wisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. Julie, good morning. I hope you're nice and cozy where you are.
I am. I'm wearing my down vest.
Oh, good.
In the house. And my
in the house. Nothing wrong with that. It's that time with 18 degrees and getting colder. We'll talk about that. But let's invite our listeners to join in on the conversation, Julie. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you can call or text Julie. And if you're a regular listener to the show, you know we tend to get really busy. So don't wait. We'd love to hear your voice if you want to call Julie, or if you'd rather text, if that's easier, that's fine too. But just one number will get you either, 651-461-9226. You know, we always, it seems like, Julie, every year at this time, we always say, well, let's hope we get some snow cover because that really helps protect things outside, growing shrubs, et cetera, and lawns and all of that. So that's the good part. Is there something we need to do to protect those shrubs or plants or whatever?
Yeah, that's a great point. I was relieved. As much as I know a lot of people I've talked to said, oh, the weather was so beautiful and it was warm. And I'll tell you, I was so relieved, and so were some of my colleagues when we got that, you know, the snow cover, because that actually acts as an insulator for our plants. So we want our plants to go into winter gradually and go into dormancy gradually, and now they are. They're proceeding into dormancy. And so that snow actually helps to protect the roots and help to insulate and protect the soil from freezing too quickly and heaving in the spring. So we do want some snow cover. But there are things that we can still be doing to protect our plants for the winter. For example, we want to be protecting plants from animal browsing. If anybody's got deer issues in their yard, they know that deer, they're hungry in the winter, and they come into the yard and they will nibble on things. And one of the things that they like to nibble on are these thin bark trees like maples and crab apples. And so we want to protect those by protecting the trunk with a ring of hardware cloth, which I've talked about before on the show many times. You want about a 4-foot high fence, and that will protect the bark. That'll also protect it from rabbit browsing. Deer probably need a bigger fence than that. You want to actually protect, especially young plants, with a large fence around them to protect them from feeding too much on the young stems too. So that's one thing. You can wrap the stems too. That will actually protect them from sun scald and ultimately frost cracks in the bark, in those thin bark trees. So that's a white plastic wrap. You see it? It comes in. You can kind of like spiral it around the stem, or you can also buy it in kind of a corrugated type of plastic. And that reflects the winter light. That winter light can be really intense for a short period of time, and then, boom, it'll go away behind clouds or buildings. And so that helps to reflect the light and keep those cells from getting too active underneath that bark.
But boy, can the deer do some damage.
They can.
Oh, my goodness. For those that maybe don't know, and so many of our listeners do, but as far as hardware cloth is not the same as like chicken wire, is it?
Right. It actually has very tiny squares. It's stronger than chicken wire, too. It's very tough. It cannot be chewed through very easily or at all by some of the animals that browse. So it's got tiny spaces, stronger. It's often coated, but you can buy uncoated as well. And you want to actually bury the base of that ring of fencing a few inches below the soil. So get out a sharp tool and dig down a kind of a space into the soil and tuck that fencing down in there. And that will prevent the voles from crawling underneath and just kind of feasting on your thin bark trees.
I had another thought, too, and we touch upon it this time of year, is if we get a lot of snow, rabbits can, you know, obviously if it's like 2 or 3 feet of snow, they've got another advantage there, don't they?
Yeah, they can sit up. They don't weigh very much, and they sit up on top of the snow. So you want a taller fence than a shorter fence. I learned that the hard way one year when I did not fence my blueberries, and they were just cut down to the ground. We didn't have a dog at the time either. That didn't help either. So I have a ring of hardware cloth that I put around my blueberries every year, and I just roll it back up and put it away for the summer, take it out in the fall and put it in the ground. You can use staples too, like lawn blanket staples or fabric staples, and push those down into the ground, too. That will help to make that fence really sturdy, too.
Okay. You can call us or text us with your lawn or garden questions, 651-461-9226. Here's a text. Julia says, should I still cover strawberry patch with straw?
You can definitely do that, yes. And you want to use clean straw. So clean straw means it's coming without seeds because you don't want a bunch of wheat growing up in your strawberry patch. So, yes, you can do it with straw. You can cover them with leaves, too. So you can also do that as well. And then just push that aside into the patches or spaces between the rows of your strawberry plants in the spring, and it will act as a really nice mulch.
And leaves are pretty good, too, aren't they, for mulch?
Yeah, definitely leaves. You can use those. And again, you can just push those aside, too.
Okay. Another text says this, Julie, should shrub roses be cut back over winter?
That's a great question. And it's actually, all of this is in an article that I just wrote for our Yard and Garden News. So readers can go back after the show and take a look. That's a great question. And it's actually, all of this is in an article that I just wrote for our Yard and Garden News. So readers can go back after the show and take a look at some of the details. And we have some good information on our website, too, on trees and shrubs. But yes, shrub roses can be protected. We have hardy shrub roses in Minnesota, but I always like to, again, put a ring of that hardware cloth around them and then pack them full of leaves. And what that does is, while the plant will survive the winter, but you don't have as much green stem if you don't protect them. You wind up with a lot of winter kill on the ends of the stems. You have to prune it back, and you have a smaller plant to start with in the spring. When you protect them, you can actually start with more green stem and a bigger plant in the spring.
All right. 651-461-9226. As we head to the break, you can call Julie or send a text. Keep in mind, we tend to get real busy as we get warmed up here. So let's hear your lawn or garden question for Julie this morning. 18 degrees in the Twin Cities. That's probably going to be our high for today, Julie, because we will be dropping as we head through the day and probably into the single digits overnight to maybe six above, before things turn around a little bit tomorrow. Right now, 18 degrees here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show around here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, always welcoming your phone calls or text messages. This morning, Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M answering those very questions, again, either by phone or by text. Call us, text us, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. You know, we mentioned before the break, Julie, about that article you had written. Maybe for those that don't know, the U of M, you guys have put together this tremendous resource called extension.umn.edu. Tell us a little bit about that.
So extension.umn.edu is our main extension webpage, and extension is much bigger than horticulture or agriculture. It includes things like family planning, family care, family helping families to get through tough times. It also includes youth education. 4-H is part of extension. And also community development. We have a group that focuses on working with communities to help them grow and prosper and help the citizens in their community. So agriculture is big. We include livestock, certainly, you know, plants, all different forestry, natural resources, even including water quality, climate change. All of those are part of extension, as well as part of the university, of course, because we are part of the university. But in horticulture, we have a great webpage called Yard and Garden, and it includes, oh my goodness, pages of information on all sorts of topics in horticulture. So everything from the home gardener to our commercial gardeners and professionals. We have information on fruits and vegetables and flowers and trees and shrubs and houseplants. We also have the Yard and Garden News, which is written every 2 weeks by my colleagues and me. And it includes things that we see happening right now. For example, the article I referred to earlier on protecting your plants through the winter. And that is one example. Annie Claude, our fruit educator, wrote a great publication on day-neutral strawberries and can they be overwintered? Should we overwinter them? So lots of good information. And I encourage people to sign up for the subscriber alert that comes into your email inbox every couple of weeks when we have new information up there.
It really
so so the website again, extension.umn.edu.
I've used that very thing more than a couple of times looking for shrubs or trees. Let's see, what kind of tree or shrub would be good for this particular area? It really is a great resource. I guess one of my favorites is something close to your heart is the whole lawn whole lawn program. You know, this really this answers so many questions for those that want to care, you know, to take care of their lawn in a certain way, fertilizing and all, aeration, right. All of that stuff.
Well, so. And we're so glad to have John Trappi on our team now. He joined us a few weeks ago and was on last week on the show, or was it last week?
Last week.
Yeah. Boy, I don't know. Time flies.
It was last week.
But yeah,
I mean, two weeks ago. Never mind. We're fighting with each other.
It's so great to have him on. We're all so happy about that.
He is, for those that missed the show, John is what we call it, the turf expert.
Yes.
With you guys at the U of M. And, yeah, he knows his stuff. So we're going to have John, I assume, back on from time to time to answer lawn and turf type questions. So
probably not till spring.
Probably not. That makes sense right now. But if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question in the meantime, call us or text us at 651-461-9226. Here's one. Text to Julia. Says, I keep an autumn joy sedum growing in a pot outside. Can I leave it out or should I winter it in a garage or three-season porch?
Oh, my goodness. So this is a very common question this time of year, is people having plants that are perennials that are growing in containers. The problem with containers is that the soil freezes very quickly. You know, there's not a lot of insulation around them, especially if they're smaller containers. I take it that this is probably not a huge container that the autumn joy is in. That being said, autumn joy is a very hardy plant here. And if you can move it into a garage, that would probably be fine. If you can't move it in, sometimes our containers are so large they can't be moved, then you would want to just protect the plant. I would maybe put a screen of fencing around it and pile some leaves in there, for example, to kind of hold it all in place for the winter, just to protect the plant itself. And if you have containers, if you happen to have a lot of leaves, like bags of leaves, you could pile them up around the container just to protect it a little bit more. But it's always a risk. And so there's no surefire silver bullet that says do this and your plant will survive. But if you're going to lose the plant otherwise, you may as well give it a shot, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking, here we are this time of year, in a few days it's going to be Thanksgiving. That's hard to believe.
But I can't believe that.
A couple of years ago, we wouldn't be talking about this, but many folks will be entertaining. They'll be inviting their friends, relatives, family, friends, whatever, to their homes. Is there like a host or hostess gift, plant-wise, that would be a good idea for somebody maybe who isn't necessarily a big-time gardener? What's a good idea for a gift like that, would you think?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. I love talking about plants for gifts.
Yeah.
One thing is to think about the person. Do they, A, want living plants to care for? Some people don't. Some people say, oh, I have a brown thumb or two brown thumbs. So cut flowers are always welcome, or a floral arrangement. And we have fabulous floral arrangers here in the Twin Cities. I would go to a local florist, tell them what you want, describe your friend or relative, and see what they can work up for you. Think about the colors, too. So that's good if there isn't a long-term commitment wanted by the person. But if somebody really likes plants, you can bring them plants like, of course, our holiday cacti. Succulents are great. They're easy to care for indoors. I like some of the plants. If people live in an apartment where they don't have a lot of light, look for low-light plants, things like the Sansevieria plants. Those are our snake plants. There's all different kinds of shapes and forms, super easy to care for, not a lot of watering or fertilizing required. They don't require a lot of potting. I also really like Hoyas. Hoyas are a vining, a very tough plant. I have a number of them that I actually got as cuttings from my mom's Hoya. It's also called wax plant, and it is a great plant. It's got kind of thick, tough, shiny leaves. They come in kind of contorted shapes. They come in variegated forms. Also, just your plain dark green. So they do bloom. They have clusters of flowers, and they're a really easy, low care plant. So orchids are also nice. I love a good orchid. And they're relatively inexpensive thanks to tissue culture advancements that we have from our growers. And you can buy those plants and all of these plants in lots of different places. So shop locally and talk to the garden center people. They are very knowledgeable. Describe what you are looking for this person as a host or hostess gift. And good luck.
Yeah, that's a good idea, too. Shop locally, and those folks do know their stuff. So that's great. Well, good.
Right.
Yeah, Thanksgiving coming up. Well, I'll tell you what, you know what else is coming up is a forecast for the Twin Cities for the rest of this weekend and this coming week. Let's see if we're going to get a break from this cold weather. We'll talk that, and we'll have about another half hour of the show, our Smart Garden Show. So don't wait. If you have a lawn and garden question, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. And we'll take those questions right after the break here on Newstalk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, welcoming your phone calls or text messages, lawn or garden type, for Julie Wisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. Again, either phone call or text, 651-461-9226. Okay, Julie, I want to talk a little bit about the Arboretum, but let's help some folks out here in the meantime. Now, this is not a dumb question, listener. It says dumb question, maybe. It's not.
No.
Will boxwoods bounce back into shape from the snow bending the branches all out of shape?
Yes, unless the branches are really dry and they snap off. But yes, they will bounce back.
Okay, that's good. Is it too late, this listener says, is it too late to cover perennials with leaves over the snow? Would it do more harm than good?
I think you could still probably cover them. I guess my question is, do you need to cover them? But yes, you could certainly dump leaves onto those plants right now. I don't think it's going to make a whole lot of difference, except in the spring when the snow melts and you still have kind of that freeze thaw where we get, you know, nice warm days, it warms up, snow melts, and then all of a sudden we get colder weather. So we get that kind of, you know, yo-yo effect in the late winter, early spring. So it will help in that respect. And then the leaves are on there. You can just push them aside as the perennials come up in the spring and you've got some built-in mulch.
I was mentioning to you off the air before we started the show that I've been kind of delinquent as far as removing some leaves. Usually I'm pretty proactive, but this year was been kind of crazy. And I kind of left leaves that I shouldn't have. And that could be an issue for lawns. What is the percentage? I mean, in some cases, part of the lawn, I can't see because of the leaves. That's not good, right?
Yeah. Well, that's not good. It would have been better to have at least mowed them and chopped them up onto your lawn so that it was smaller pieces of leaves. But, you know, things happen. And sometimes you get a big blast of leaves right after you raked and then it snows, and what do you do? So I think the important thing is in the spring, as things thaw out, is to get out there with a rake and just gently take off the big layer of leaves so that sunlight and air can get down to your grass plants. So just carefully, because you don't want to, we always say don't rake when it's spongy, don't rake when it's wet, but just kind of pull those leaves off the top. You don't have to get down to the grass plants, but just get the excess off. So yeah, that happens. I did not get my bulbs in the ground.
Well, so you were kind of delinquent too. I don't feel too bad.
I got too busy. I'm like, I'll do them today. I'll do them tomorrow. So they are sitting in the garage, and I'm going to actually try something. A while ago, I had heard, it might have been from Mary, I'm not sure, but we were talking about that because it's a common question people say is, oh, my bulbs came late. I didn't get them in the ground. What do I do with them now? You can do a couple things. You can force them. So you can pot up, make a nice dish garden of bulbs, put them in the refrigerator. We have a garage refrigerator that runs year-round. And put them in the refrigerator for 12 weeks. and then take it out, put it in a sunny window, start watering it, and hopefully you'll get bulbs emerging and you'll have a nice bulb garden. That's one thing you can do. If you have a lot of bulbs, you can put the bulbs into peat moss that's moistened, just barely moistened, just so it's just, you know, a little bit damp, and put them in the refrigerator to simulate winter. Now, it's not the best thing to do. The best thing is to get the bulbs in the ground and let it go through a true winter, because the temperature is important for allowing the plant, and they need this period of time before the temperature actually helps to break dormancy in the bulb. So, but that's, if you have nothing else you can do, that's one thing you could do too. So, yeah, I don't know. Not sure if I'm going to have much for bulbs next spring. And then you would plant those bulbs in your garden in the spring as soon as you can work the soil.
Okay.
It's always an experiment, Denny.
Life is like that. 651-461-9226. If you want to call in your question, great. If you want to send a text, that's good too. Folks like their texting this morning.
Yes.
Here's another one. My hibiscus trees still have aphids after spraying insecticidal soap twice. Any suggestions, or what happens if I don't do anything?
Well, I take it that, aphids, they are a pain. I take it that these are tropical hibiscus that were brought into the house. So you can do a couple things. I will put my bigger plants in the shower and blast off. That's the first thing I would do, is blast those off. I would also cut the plant back. Now, sometimes that's painful because hibiscus tend to set a lot of buds when they come in the house. But you do not want aphids in your house plants, because once they're in one plant, you will find them in other plants. So you need to isolate the plants. I would wash them first, and then I would cut them back. And you can cut hibiscus plants back quite hard. I did this one year when I had spider mites on my hibiscus, and I cut all of the leaves off. I completely cut the plant down, probably to about, you know, where there were no leaves on the branches, and it came back beautifully, and I got rid of the food source for the spider mites in that respect. So that's one thing you can do. The other thing is to bag the plants, cut them back a bit, bag them in like a trash bag, seal it up, poke a little hole in there, and just spray in there, you know, something that is a pesticide that is for aphids, and let it sit. Then cover the hole up with a piece of tape and just let it sit in there and do its work in this kind of enclosed area. That's good for protecting the rest of your, you know, yourself and your home from any kind of pesticide contamination. So I would do it in the garage if you can.
Maybe we'll get another chance if the snow melts before the next snowstorm.
Sure.
But here's a question that something else I didn't get to. Can a person still dormant seed over the snow?
Oh, no, you don't want to dormant seed over the snow. You actually want to put it down right before it snows.
Yeah,
so if you do get a thaw, and it looks like we have some high 30s coming up, and if you don't have a big snow cover, I know up north they got a lot of snow, but down here, you know, we have a few inches maybe on the ground. If you do get an area that thaws out and there's no snow, you can put the seed down now. John talks about frost seeding as well, which happens in the spring. And for Minnesota, because we get these changes in, you know, freezing, thawing, putting down seed when the soil is bare and this freezing thawing cycle actually helps to work the seed into the soil. And so he said it's sometimes for Minnesota, it can be more successful than dormant seeding. So he does a little of both. I think he told me he does 25% of his seed dormant seeded, and he saves the other 75% for spring.
I think I may try that.
Yeah, so if you didn't get to dormant seeding and you got a thick snow cover, think about doing frost seeding late winter, early spring when the snow has melted off your lawn.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
All right.
I have never heard of that.
There's something that I have not heard any news stories
today.
Do you know if the Christmas tree lots have shortages of fresh cut trees or overly dry trees this year due to the drought? I have not heard.
I haven't heard anything. The Minnesota Department of Agriculture usually comes out with something about Christmas trees around this time of year, probably just maybe this month, even. I mean, it would be this month probably, but talks about, you know, buy locally, you know, but go to our, you know, patronize our tree lots, that kind of. So I don't really know, but I think with even if the plants are not local, if they're shipped in, they're still going to be kind of pricier because of the cost of freight these days. So we'll see. I don't know.
Texters says this, for those that don't know, Julie plays in a group called the Abiders. Many people know that, but some don't. But I'm looking at a text that says, please ask Julie if the Abiders have any Florida gigs planned for this winter. I sure hope so. So there's somebody who's, I don't know if they're in Florida at the moment or not. But
No, we do not. We have not traveled outstate as a band. So I think the furthest we got was probably White Bear Lake from home.
You didn't need a passport either.
Our bass player will be in Florida for a couple months, but I don't think he's doing any solo acts down there. So.
But anyway, maybe as far as going back to that Christmas tree shortage, if there is, and maybe we'll listeners will fill us in if they're indeed they heard that. But I have not heard or seen any news stories about that.
I haven't. The Department of Minnesota Department of Agriculture would be a good website to check that out and see if there's anything. Also, Minnesota Grown. That's another good website about Minnesota growers and the products and plants that they grow and supply for us. So that's another good site.
Very good. Hang on, Julie. We'll take a bit of a break here. Just a reminder, coming along next hour, Jesse Treble. We've invited Jesse Treble from the Safe Basements back to answer more questions. We ran out of time before, so if you have any kind of a basement-type question, whether you're talking about radon, whether you have a wet basement, bowed walls, things like that, among other things, or if you want to talk about foam jacking, if you've got kind of a sidewalk that's kind of caving in, whatever, we'll pick up on those topics next hour when Jesse Treble steps in for Andy Lindis next hour on the Home Improvement Show. So get those questions. Keep those in mind. We'll pick up on those next hour. In the meantime, it's 18 degrees here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Denny Long here with Julie Wisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. Julie, we always like to talk about the Arboretum. What a great place to visit any time of the year. But what's going on right now? Some fun stuff, I'm sure.
Right. So November 17th, a couple days ago, we opened Winter Lights, which is the outdoor winter light exhibit. But also there's beautiful decorations indoors as well. And so I encourage people to get online, get a reservation, come on out and visit the Winter Lights. They're absolutely beautiful. They'll be in place until January 1st, until New Year's Day. There's also a really good education opportunity called ProHort. So a lot of people know about the Master Gardener program. They think, oh, I don't have time to volunteer as a Master Gardener, but boy, I'd sure like to get that education. And the ProHort opportunity is the same education as Master Gardeners without the volunteer obligation. So this is a self-paced online class. You can sign up for it. It opens up on January 5th. That's the first day that the site is open for education. And you can get all the education that a Master Gardener does without the volunteer opportunity. So so that's a great thing to do this winter and get all tuned up and ready to go for spring.
I'm ready right now. As a matter of fact, it's not even Thanksgiving.
We need that time for our bulbs to break.
No, that's true. That's true. Patience, patience.
Our plants need to rest.
Julie, let's do a kind of a lightning round and see how many folks we can help out before you take your leave today. Right, here's one. I repotted my gardenias with new soil, brought them inside. They are placed near a window with no direct sunshine. Should I fertilize them?
If you see active growth on your houseplants, yes, fertilize at half the strength recommended on the container.
Here's another one. Our tulip order just arrived. Can we store them until next spring, or do we need to fight frozen soil to plant them?
That's what I just was talking about earlier. So I would say that if you can get them in the ground, great, but it's really late, so you might want to store them in your refrigerator. Away from fruits and vegetables because they put out ethylene as they ripen. If you have a garage fridge where you keep your beer or your wine or something, that's a good place to store them. And keep them in some peat moss that actually is a little bit damp. And then check them, add a little bit of water periodically. Try to get them in the ground in the spring, and hopefully you'll be simulating a winter.
Question about the Arboretum, Julie. Does the Arboretum, texter says, have a senior discount? I don't know if they do.
I am not sure, but you can look on the website under memberships, or you can also look under the tickets and find that out. I know that kids under 12 get in for free.
Okay. Hi, Julie. This one says, I am experimenting with a cover system for my non-winter hardy roses, basically a hand-built box with rigid insulation sides and top. Inside, there are leaves. What do you think about this idea? What's the best position or number of air holes? Also, is there a good video to watch on the Minnesota tipping method?
I don't know of a video. That's an old method. But boy, if you want to learn the tipping method, volunteer at the Arboretum next fall when they tip the roses. Actually, they'll be tipping them up. The Rose Society helps with that. And they'll be tipping them up in the spring. And maybe you could volunteer for that. You can contact the Arboretum volunteer coordinator for that information. I think the method sounds pretty good. It's certainly going to protect the roses, and they might make it through the winter. So how many holes to drill? I can't really say because I don't really see what I'm trying to visualize what the texter mentioned. But I don't know if I'd put very many holes in there. I think I would leave it the way it is.
Okay. Very good. Let's see. We've got a couple minutes to go here. I'm looking at this other. My zygote cactus, I have texted you previous questions about, not blooming. Yep. It has bloomed.
Oh, yay.
So
that's a holiday
good.
Cacti. Yep.
And that's, is that hard to take care of, a zygote cactus?
No, they're not. You just well-drained pots and not over-watering is really key. And you can move them around. They respond to cool temperatures and lower light this time of year. They're called a short-day plant. So as our days get shorter, that they tend to set bud, and you can modify that with also cooler temperatures and, you know, put it in a room that's not, you know, too hot.
Let's see. Just curious, Julie, the texter goes on to say, what is your preferred method for storing dahlia tubers? Do you like the saran wrap method?
I do not know. I have never stored a dahlia tuber, but the Dahlia Society of Minnesota would probably have something to say about that. I don't think I've ever heard of the saran wrap method, though, even when I've researched dahlias. I can't respond to that one very well.
Here's another question we get from time to time. I remember when I had that Meyer lemon tree, which I don't anymore.
Yes, which I don't have mine either.
You don't have yours either, yeah. Fungus gnats. What to do about fungus gnats is the texter's question.
So fungus gnats, they lay eggs in the soil, and they like, as their name implies, really like wet soil, like constantly wet soil. And so the first thing is not to overwater your plants. Second is to have a well-drained container and allow your plants to dry out between waterings. If you can't get rid of them, if they are just annoying you, repot your plant in fresh, new, sterile soil. So don't use anything that's sitting in your garage or that sat outside for the summer. Go buy a new bag of soil, wash your pot with hot, soapy water, and then when you take the plant out of the pot, wash the roots off. Because there are larvae, very tiny larvae, that can be in there feeding on the roots, the fungus that grows on the roots from this wet condition. Or there could be cocoons as well. So you want to wash all that off, then repot your plant in the fresh, clean, sterile soil in the clean pot, and then be careful about watering. Do not overwater. Always feel your plants before you water. They need less water now because as our days are shorter, they're not out in the hot summer sun. So be sure to feel houseplants. Number one killer of houseplants is overwatering, and fungus gnats come along with that. They're really a pain in the butt.
All right,
and we have a
good
web page on managing insect pests on indoor plants that you can visit.
Give us that website again, Julie.
Extension.umn.edu. Go to Yard and Garden. Also, you can just enter fungus gnats in the search box and it will come up.
They are bothersome.
They are a pest.
All right, let's see if we can't grab another one before you take your leave today. Oh, here's one, a person that is really intent for dormant seeding. I haven't heard this one. How about, texter says, using a sprinkling can to melt the snow, loosen the soil, add seed, and mix soil and seed for dormant seeding?
Well, I guess you could do that. That's a lot of work. I think I would. But if you're intent on that, maybe if you just have a small area and you don't have a lot of snow cover, you could scrape the snow away or melt it. And then you could actually, as you said, like rake it up, put your seed down, and then you could push some more snow over it. I don't know. But yeah, you could do that. It depends how desperate you are to get a jump on that now. And oh my gosh, what is going on to my computer?
Well, you're sounding good here. We've got to leave here in less than a minute, Julie.
Oh, good, okay.
As far as
I got 14 minutes, it says.
Oh no,
restarts for some weird reason.
Well, you're sounding good so far. So listen. Okay. Well, thanks for everything. Let's give again the university website and get to the Arboretum. Tell us how we do that. How do we find the Arboretum?
Yep, so extension.umn.edu, go to Yard and Garden. Please subscribe to our Yard and Garden news. We have great information. Right now we're going into houseplant season, so there'll be a lot of that. And essentially, very shortly, we'll be getting into seed starting information, too, and seed selection. And visit the Arboretum, arb.umn.edu. You do need tickets, even as a member. There's, of course, no charge to members, but if you're not a member, you can pretty much pay for your membership in just a couple visits. So consider becoming a member. We have our winter lights going.
We're out of here, Julie. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Hey, you too, Denny. Thank you.
Julie Weisenor from the U of M. Home Improvement next hour on CCO.